This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, it looks like one of our listeners is not happy that we're having another UFO show today. He's somebody who posted on Facebook, more UFOs? Geez. Now, he doesn't use any more explicit terms. So, accordingly, we are allowed to mention what he said. Some people don't like it when we cover UFOs. Other people, we talk about ghosts, they say, oh, enough ghosts, we don't want to hear ghosts anymore. Of course, you can't satisfy everyone, so you've got to please yourself. That's kind of quoting a song called Garden Party from a 1950s sitcom star who became kind of a country rock icon. Garden Party from Rick Nelson. Does anyone remember Ricky Nelson?
Well, he changed it to
Rick Nelson because he didn't want to be called Ricky anymore. He kind of felt that as a teenager, as a grown man in his 30s and 40s. Do you remember Preston Dennett, Rick Nelson?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Ricky Schroeder, too. He doesn't mind being called Ricky either.
Well, Rick Nelson, one of the things about it is, of course, his father, Ozzie Nelson, set him up on the show to sing a song, but he was a real singer. He was a real artist. He was a real songwriter. And a lot of his songs were not teenage songs. They were country songs, like Lonesome Town, Absolute Country. So he was pretty good. He was a pretty good singer. But Garden Party is where, of course, he's older with the long hair, and they're doing this reunion concert at Madison Square Garden. And I guess he wasn't received so well, so we got a hit record out of it. Why are we doing this? We've got Preston Dennett, who's been in and around the UFO field for a few decades. And a lot of interesting UFO-related news is forthcoming right now, especially from the New York Times. Or some people call it the failing New York Times, except that it is not failing. So it is the successful New York Times, where we have these stories from Ralph Blumenthal and Leslie Kane about possibly getting a UFO update from the government every 6 months. Preston, have you been following any of this?
Are you kidding? Yes, of course. It's like the only movement we've had towards disclosure at all significant that I can really remember in terms of, you know, official government people. Yeah, I'm pretty excited, but I'm also kind of jaded. I'm not expecting too much. Probably going to give us another piece of film, or maybe we'll get to see a speck of metal. I want the ship. I want to see the bodies. And nothing less will make any more than a ripple. Most people have not even noticed all these disclosures, which I think are pretty significant.
Yeah, and we were talking a little bit about that before the show, right, Preston? Where, okay, so disclosure. We in ufology, we already know they're here. So it's not going to be a big surprise to us. And I think maybe we tend to overestimate the rest of the world's, what they think the importance of it is. Really, there's a lot of people who probably couldn't really care less. So, you know, they're more interested in, like we were saying, making sure that their ball gets to the green, or, you know, the sports arenas open up, or the bars open up.
Yeah, I can just see, and if all this really does roll out a couple of years from now, parents are going to be trying to drag their kid to the UFO museum to show them the Roswell aliens, and the kids are going to be like, no, I want to play my video games.
I think they're already there. And I think there's even an Area 51 video game already, too, about it, right? And there's quite a few alien video games.
Oh, yeah. It's the major theme of video games.
So kids are desensitized already.
I brought this up with the people I know. And no one has even really heard of it. I'm like, you did not hear that the Pentagon said that there's there will be further disclosures about otherworldly vehicles, direct quote. And they're like, no.
Well, you also understand that the original statement was attributed to former Senator Harry Reid, and they changed the story to make it less definitive, as you might recall. So that raises that big question. Maybe he said too much, or maybe he was misquoted, or maybe there was wishful thinking. I don't know. The key here is that we're talking about a six-month time frame. Now, in 6 months from now, conceivably, we have a different president. I don't want to get into the politics because it's going to get really wacky. I'm just going to say, as a matter of practicality here, if the trends are as they are now, there will be a new president. And if there is the existing one, it's not as if he hasn't said some vaguely positive things about UFOs. So one way or the other, there may be information. Then again, just because something is in a bill doesn't mean that the Pentagon is honor-bound to give that report. It's not as if Congress can do anything about it.
Here's my big worry is, our government generally doesn't do things to help the people necessarily. It's for their own benefit. So there's got to be something behind this that it makes it beneficial to them to make these disclosures. I'm not sure what it is. I'm guessing there's probably a lot of different reasons. People perhaps within the government cover-up who have been pushing towards this. I know the ETs have. That's one of their major themes when people are taken on board.
Right, but if E.T. wanted to do it, they could have done it a long time ago. E.T. doesn't need to take Johnny or Jeanette, unknown person, aboard a spaceship or channel to them. They can just simply land and say, here we are, what are you going to do about it?
Hey, they keep doing it. They go over to Phoenix. You know, these big waves of sightings are clearly displays. They're publicity stunts.
You just said something, publicity stunts. I think some things there is, it's play acting for our benefit. If they really wanted to do a landing, a real 100% mass landing, they could do that. They do not need our benefit of our wisdom or knowledge or awareness. They just land. They can just do it if they want to. We can't stop them. We do not have that control. Unless, of course, we assume, and let's just make assumptions here. Okay, we're being visited by E.T. E.T. has had some interactions with the governments of Earth, and they've worked this out.
Yeah, there's clearly something going on behind the scenes, because if UFOs are real and in such large numbers as I think they are, why aren't they landing? Why aren't they seen every day, all the time? There's some sort of quarantine going on with our planet, perhaps. I don't know if you buy into the John Lear story about how the Greys and our government have had diplomatic relations and traded abductions for technology.
Well, where's the technology to take care of the pandemic? I don't see any technology there. Where's the technology to help stop wars? Where's the technology to fix the environment? Why do we have to spend billions of dollars for companies to produce in advance vials of vaccine that may or may not work? Why can't ET give us the pill? Why do we have to have kidney dialysis? As Dr. McCoy demonstrated in the movie Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, you just give the person who suffers from kidney failure a couple of pills and they call them in the morning. The key here is if there's alien technology, where is it?
It's in the military hands. There's some whistleblowers out right now who's saying that, yeah, from the crashed UFOs, we've pulled out a lot of healing technology, which totally makes sense because these things are like floating hospitals. There's a very strong medical theme that runs through the abduction accounts. And according to these whistleblowers, like I think William Tompkins and others, we have things that can diagnose tumors and cure all kinds of things, kind of anti-age people, and they are using it for their own purposes.
Obviously, those purposes are not to help us. We have longtime researcher Preston Denny joining us for this episode. And by the way, he will also stick with us for After the Paracast. That's the special podcast available only if you're a subscriber to the Paracast Plus. Let me just tell you about that quickly and we'll get to our next segment. To learn more about the Paracast Plus, go to theparacast.plus. For sign-up information, we also give you a version of this show that is free of the network ads. That's the Paracast on Plus. Our guest this week is the one and only Preston Dennett. We like having him on because we can have fascinating discussions about UFOs and what's going to happen. More to come with Gene Randall. Preston, you're in.
The Paracast!
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Attention listeners interested in food supplies. If you've ever wanted to create an endless, crash-proof stockpile of survival food and do it with very little money, pay close attention. This could be a game changer. Because the cost-effective do-it-yourself secrets survival food companies won't tell you about are available. Learn all about them at foodshortageusa.com. Check this out. The economic disruption that's occurred in the last 6 months is going to have consequences. Big ones, especially when it comes to food. The availability of food, as well as the inevitable rising prices, which always get passed on to the consumer. The fact is, hyperinflation has huge implications for food and food prices. Smart listeners, you should begin bracing for impact. The good news? There's still time to learn how to get all your garden vegetables into your pantry, stored away, just in case. Learn how at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peets, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're back with Gene and Randall. Preston Dennett is our guest. We were kind of discussing the possibility of disclosure. And if ET is in contact with us, why are they sticking with relative unknowns? Why aren't they going to abduct Donald Trump Jr. or Barack Obama
or the daughter of George W. Bush. Why not abduct people who are famous? This way, if they say, I've been abducted, I don't mean, you know, like Sammy Hagar. I mean somebody with, you know, real credibility. Why aren't they doing something about it so that if they care enough about what they're doing to have an impact, they accomplish it, not just play this cat and mouse game?
I am sure they are abducting famous people, heads of state. What we're seeing with the UFO contact phenomenon is everyone, it's right across the board. Men and women, young people, old people, all different professions. And there was a couple of cases I worked on where there were some very famous people involved. They wouldn't let me interview them, but you would certainly recognize their names. There has been a lot of famous people who've come forward with UFO sightings, certainly, but only a few involving abductions. A lot of musicians, certainly, a bunch of actors. You're right, some of these people who are in a much higher position of government should really come forward.
The thing is also that if a rock and roll singer is abducted like a Sammy Hagar, their credibility is zero. I'm just a rock and roller. They're probably on some kind of weird medication. And therefore, we shouldn't believe anything they say because they're on that medication. And that's probably the big problem there. We don't take them seriously because of the nature of the way they act or just the way they're perceived. Even though they are serious, smart people, some are very wealthy people, some are very well educated. Certain people are noted astrophysicists like Brian May from Queen, who of course has a PhD. Even though they may have credentials, they're in the entertainment business. They're a bunch of druggies. They probably were strung out on something. That's the problem.
Just to be clear here, Sammy Hagar, he believes his mind was taken over by aliens before he was with Van Halen, actually. These extraterrestrials tapped into his consciousness. Basically, that made him into a contactee. So he's a firm believer that they're out there and they will be here. So these are interesting from a sociological perspective, even if they lack a certain amount of credibility.
Yeah, but let's look at astronomers. Those would be the perfect person to see a UFO. And I don't think people realize that there's a long list of astronomers who have seen UFOs, like Clyde Tombaugh, discoverer of Pluto. He saw a UFO. Who was that other guy? Lincoln LaPaz. He was a very well-known astronomer. He saw the green fireballs that were falling all over New Mexico more than once.
Right, yeah, he was involved with Project Twinkle, right?
Yeah, and gosh, we're settled. Seymour Hess, on May 20th, 1950, he saw a disc-shaped craft moving against the wind at about 12,000 feet. He's got a lot of credibility.
Recently, we just had a comet come by. I posted it on the Paracast community forums. I don't know if anyone else out there in our listening audience managed to catch a glimpse of it, but I went out with the binoculars and was able to see it. Comet Neowise, that's a comet that won't be back for over 6,000 years. It's almost hard to imagine what society is going to be like in 6,000 years.
Yeah, if we're still here, that's a long time.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll last 20 years right now.
Yeah, man, we just had a sizable earthquake here in California this morning.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, 4.2 or so. I woke up right before it happened in the middle of the night. What a year. It's been crazy. I'm just waiting for plagues of locusts or something.
Apparently there have been, like lots of them this year, but not, of course, not in the U.S., but in other parts of the world. And, of course, the comets, they're harbingers of these kinds of events, too. So now we're just being superstitious, right? I mean, shouldn't we all be turning to science to save us? You know, instead of seeing all these synchronicities and going, you know, this is the end times.
Science? What's that? That gets away in the way of TV shows and fashion and gossip and YouTube comments.
But okay, when it comes to disclosure, you guys, like both you guys, probably have seen this happening. And I was talking about this, I think it was with Chris Johansson in the Paracast community forums a little bit, where he was saying that, you know, people maybe like yourself, Preston, and I think I would probably be somewhat included in this group, are kind of you know, out there on the true believer side of the spectrum, maybe not way out in the fringe, but we've got this sort of a bit of a true believerish thing about us where, you know, I say, yeah, alien visitation is real. I'm not afraid to admit that. But yet I don't like to think of myself as a true believer. And yet I think that there are a lot of other people out there who are non-believers who would look at me and go, oh yeah, you're a true believer. You're way out there. So there seems to be this spectrum of people where their normalcy is way out there compared to some other people. We have a hard time judging for ourselves exactly where that level of normalcy is. So when we're already believing in alien visitation, it's suddenly not as hard to go, well, maybe they are walking among us. Maybe there are aliens within our general population now that look like human beings that are surveying our society. What do you think about that, Preston?
I've heard a few scattered reports that say exactly that, you know, imposter families who actually live on a spaceship. I have never gotten a report like that, but I do know of many reports of ETs in public places, certainly. And the fact that some of these guys look just like us, why wouldn't they be doing that? So I'm pretty confident. It's something I would, quote, believe, but do not know. And that's another thing. I don't like being called a UFO believer. Yeah, I do believe. But I'm a UFO knower. I know. I've seen them more than once. And there's a difference between belief and knowledge. You can, you know, be skeptical all you want. It's not going to change the fact that UFOs are here.
Right, yeah. Like last time you were on the show, you were talking to us, with us about, I believe it's a woman that you know who claimed that she could call down UFOs, which is another kind of one of those out there true believer things. But then you went with her out to, I think it was a forested area somewhere, and saw this big spherical glowing object, if I got that right.
Yeah, it was actually not that far. It was right off the 210 freeway in Pasadena.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, okay. So you didn't have to go far into the out of the way to see this thing.
No, not at all. And I really wasn't expecting anything, even though she had done it before, in essence. But that was probably my best sighting I've ever had. That thing was maybe 50 feet away. No mistaking it. Big as a house. Most beautiful thing I've ever seen, covered with golden lights, perfectly round, utterly silent, and just zipped away.
We're going to zip away for a moment here. More to come with Preston, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The National Hurricane Center says Hurricane Isaias has weakened slightly after blowing through the Bahamas. It should gain strength as it heads over warm water. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has closed beaches, parks, and virus testing sites.
Pay close attention to the Weather Channel, to official updates at the state and local level. This is something that's an evolving situation, and we know we are going to get some impacts. What shape those impacts take remains to be seen.
Meteorologist Chad Meyer says the storm could strengthen again as it heads toward Florida.
You know, so far, it has been the underachiever of the lifetime, where Hannah was so big and so bad so quickly. This thing has run into dry air, and it has really fallen apart. That's the good news.
The storm is now a tropical storm, but will strengthen again once it reaches warmer waters. This is USA Radio News. Three people have been charged with carrying out the Twitter attack in mid-July. USA's John Hunt has the story.
State authorities in Florida say 17-year-old Graham Ivan Clark was the mastermind of the attack. He now faces 30 state felony charges, and federal charges may also be filed. Federal authorities also announced that Mason Shepherd of Bangor Regis in the United Kingdom was charged with conspiracy to commit wire fraud, conspiracy to commit money laundering, and the international access of a projected computer. Nima Fazeli of Orlando was also charged by federal authorities with aiding and abetting the international access of a protected computer. The arrest came after an intensive investigation by the FBI, IRS, Secret Service, and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. The accounts targeted in the attack included those belonging to Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Kanye West, Microsoft founder Bill Gates, and entrepreneur Elon Musk.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So Preston Dennett is telling us what he probably would have envisioned as his dream UFO sighting. If you had created one all on your lonesome, wouldn't it be like what you've just been describing for us?
No. I wanted the metallic saucer with portholes to land and ETs to come out and invite me on board. But I guess I'll have to settle for what I got so far. Yeah, I mean, right after something like this happens and you immediately question your eyes. I'm really glad I had her with me. And you start to like say, hey, I want to see a UFO for real, even though you just saw one. I don't know. It's very hard to absorb. It's hard to describe.
I think we had a couple of comments afterwards, but like, it just seems so hard to believe that. I mean, knowing that that's what you were doing and going out there to experience this and then experiencing it, that you never got video or even a photograph.
Yeah. I have no excuse. I mean, this, it happens and you freeze and you don't want to take your eyes off of it. And it also entrances you to a certain degree. And I've heard witnesses say this, like during the Topanga Canyon UFO wave, there was a bunch of UFOs seen on one night. I've interviewed all kinds of people who saw stuff on this night. And one was a group of three people driving down through the canyon and pulled over because there was this big mothership overhead with little ones coming out of it and circling around. And it went on for 20 minutes. And I'm like, are you kidding? He's like, no, but the thing was, he felt this sort of calming influence. He did not feel any excitement. He was just very, very calm and almost hypnotized. And that's what they do. They hypnotize you with their lights on thinking. is what's going on here. It's a very strange reaction. People do not react the way you think you would when you see a UFO.
Yeah, generally speaking. But then aren't we supposed to be trained to some degree, you know this beforehand and be kind of prepared to not let it do that to us, you know, maybe set up the camera and have it running already, you know, or something?
Yeah. Yeah. I think if I were to do it again, that would be exactly what I would do. Because my side, that particular one was, I'm going to say 5 seconds. It could have been 10. But I don't think it was much longer than that.
Because that's what happens, is you get the people that go, well, science, you know, if we want to look at this scientifically, we really need to do better than to just, you know, go out and have an adventure that we can talk to people about and tell, you know, the story around the campfire kind of thing. We need more scientific-like investigation. Now, this brings up, actually, this is a really good time, maybe, Gene, to bring up this issue. You were, and I don't know if you still are, a Mutual UFO Network field investigator. Are you still with MUFON?
I am still a member, yeah, and did take the test and got like 98 on it. Had one stupid mistake. It was a very difficult test. I still support MUFON despite all their troubles. All UFO organizations, civilian organizations, go through tremendous troubles, and several have been infiltrated. That's what happened to Jim and Coral Lorenzen's APRO. They caught the CIA spying on them and on their field investigators. And NICAP fell apart for similar reasons.
NICAP also fell apart because Major Kehoe screwed up handling of the organization's finances, and they threw him out, and this came around the same time as the Kynan report resulted in the end of Project Blue Book. So Kehoe was like the front, the face of NICAP. With him gone, I could see what would have happened to them.
With MUFON, I'm surprised they have, what, 3,000, 4,000 members, up to 7,000 at one point? That's hardly nothing compared to the population of the United States and the world. It's less than a drop. I don't understand why this subject isn't more popular. I do to a certain extent. It's our tax dollars that are being spent by our government, who knows perfectly well this is real, to make the subject look ridiculous. It's still a cover-up, and we're still suffering from it.
Yeah, but not to denigrate what you're doing for MUFON, there's a lot of dedicated people working with MUFON. They're trying to do good work. They do get 96 on their MUFON tests, better or worse, but they pass the tests and they try to do what they're trying to do. But the leadership has made a mess. Jan Harzan was executive director in 2017 when they were looking for secret space programs. And they had some pretty wacky people, and it didn't do well. They had the Hangar One TV show, which was supposed to highlight the key cases that MUFON was investigating, and it was a reality docudrama. They made up stories. Not like the Project Blue Book show, which is a fictionalized version of the life of Dr. Hynek with an X-Files slant. It was meant to be a documentary or reality show, and it wasn't. And then, of course, let's just forget about Jan Harzan's other problems, because, you know, he's innocent until he's proven guilty. They did the right thing to throw him out. But then we have David McDonald, who stages those mile-high flights. And does it look good from a public relations standpoint to have the executive director or international director of your organization having sex parties on airplanes flying above 5,000 feet? I mean, they're adults. They can do what they want. Does it make sense that several of the people, at least two of the people from MUFON, are posting racist comments on Facebook? They should learn to just shut up, because anything they do that puts a poor light on the organization's reputation is not good.
Yeah, this is the UFO field for you. I was so naive getting involved in this. I thought, wow, this is interesting. Aliens are invading Earth. Why isn't people talking about this? I had no idea that there was that level of a cover-up that had been investigated for decades, that there were paid hoaxers, and that it's just filled with disinformation. Not to mention the whole fringe element that is attracted to all of this. So it's a very difficult field to investigate.
Well, you've got guys like Chris Cogswell, who used to be with MUFON, who was scientific, one of their scientific advisory people, and he left. There's other people who have left, too. They've just said, okay, well, you know, I think MUFON was a good idea once upon a time, but I don't know anymore if it's if that's the case. I know about what you're talking about with the field investigators courses. I think actually that is a really good course. If anyone was to have some set of credentials, it was a really good attempt to get some standardization and some knowledge to people. But really, what do you think is the best move to go forward with MUFON? Or do we need a whole new model altogether in terms of UFO investigation?
Well, I don't think MUFON's going away. Like I said, I do support MUFON. I don't really work directly with them these days. I speak at conventions, and that's about it. I think the problem with MUFON is it's not nothing changes. They're just collecting these reports. They're holding their symposiums, and the field is not being moved forward to any large degree. I think it would be much more effective if they would focus on, say, proving UFOs, which in my mind have already been proven. I mean, we've got enough radar return cases and metal fragments and electromagnetic effects and physiological cases to prove this, implant removals and so on. I don't know what to do. I really don't. I would like to find an organization that is more embracing and, you know, attracts more people, I guess, because I just don't. It's still right there on the fringe. There's NUFORC as well, but that's kind of the same thing. Reports go in, and there the information kind of just stays.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing with QFOS as well. I mean, I think QFOS is probably still the most respected of the investigative groups. But, again, we're just talking mainly about reports going in, getting some cursory analysis, getting classified, you know, as a nocturnal light or a close encounter or whatever the case may be, and then filed into a box somewhere, I guess, or under a computer system.
Let's look into this box, and then we'll unbox more. On the other side, with Preston, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS-certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA, insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, we have Preston Dennett with us, and Randall is unboxing something. Would you take that box and open it? Do it silently. I don't like the sound of crinkling paper and such.
Okay, I'll be as quick as... Okay.
I started it now.
Well, it's true. I mean, apparently there are garage fulls of boxes of files that go back to, you guys mentioned APRO, and nobody's really sure what's happening with all of those either. Preston, you were saying, well, for you, the issue has been proven. Same for me. If we call proof just evidence that's sufficient to justify belief in a claim, I think there's plenty of evidence by the way of people's firsthand experiences, not just anecdotes told by people who heard something from some other person, but by people who have had firsthand experiences with their own senses seeing these things.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. People who don't believe in UFOs are really not doing their homework. Amount of eyewitness testimony is, I think, probably our best evidence, but it's totally backed up by photographs, moving films, radar returns, landing traces. I mean, we can go on and on about the amount of evidence. So skeptics really have no excuse.
Before the show, we were talking and you were saying that you actually have a few new cases. Can you tell us about a couple of those?
Yeah, certainly. I'm working with this lady who's lived in Florida and California. She had a very difficult childhood here in Northern California. She was having visitations, but did not know how to categorize it, and her family was not supportive. She ended up moving out as when she reached 18 because of it, ultimately, to Florida, and thought that part of her life was over until it started up again when she started having this really loud, warbling, ringing sound in her ear, and it got to be just constant and very annoying. She went to the doctor about it. It wasn't tinnitus, wasn't an insect in her ear. It went on for, a good year. Then she had this UFO hovering over her house. Grays started coming into her room. Her husband saw them. She had a weird pregnancy that ended up being aborted and was pulled on board a UFO at some point and shown the hybrid baby, the whole thing. But what makes her case interesting, it was some time later, she woke up one morning and just got into telepathic contact with a gray who gave her all kinds of information. He told her his name was Sen, S-E-N, and just proceeded to answer her questions. It was a very interesting case.
That sounds a lot like sort of what Raymond Fowler wrote about in the Andreessen Affair. So did this happen in California, or where did that happen?
Yeah, most of it happened in California, but this telepathic meeting she had, she like asked, why are you abducting me? And they explained that it was about genetics and that their race, they altered it to travel through space and lost the ability of emotions and lost the ability to remain completely physical. They said, we vibrate at such a low vibration, it's very hard for them to be around us. Told her that she came from a planet which has a lot of water. I told her all kinds of things. Let's see, what else? There was quite a bit of information it did give to her.
And so this is kind of like a channeling or I guess it's not really channeling if it's a telepathic contact, is it? I guess channeling is kind of a form of telepathy, right?
Channeling would be having Sen speak through you to the audience.
Right.
So that wasn't really what she was doing. But she did ask, are you guys planning on taking over the planet? And they said, no, your planet is already filled. And there are plenty of other planets out there for us. So it's an interesting case for sure, because most people I talk to don't get a lot of information.
Right, but then again, here we go. I mean, I don't know, though. This is your case. Maybe you can tell us. Once again, I'm speculating here, but, you know, I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts that there is absolutely nothing that the aliens relayed to her that either we don't already know or can't figure out for ourselves, because it's just obvious. You know, we always get these sort of trite messages like we need to take better care of the planet, and you know, there's lots of other life out there, but we never get the secret to anti-gravity, you know, or how they're able to create ships that can do interstellar travel.
Well, I'm going to differ a little bit on that, because one of the most common things that happens when people are taken on board is certainly being physically examined. That's the most common, but right up there is being taken to the engine room. And that ETs explain how this works. And so what I did is I surveyed the literature for these types of cases and found a good, I'm going to say about a dozen, where people got some pretty specific instructions. I remember one case comes from Whitley Strieber. It was about a farmer who had all these instructions for an ET engine just drop into his head. And it involved, as they often do, magnets, counter-rotating magnets. And he built this device in his barn, switched it on, and all the metal objects came swooping from all over the barn right towards it. It attracted everything metal. He was hit on the head by his own car engine, which came off the wall and struck him on the head. And the whole barn ended up burning down. But the point is, something happened, assuming this is true. And I think it is, because, yeah, I've got other cases. One guy I interviewed personally, he's an engineer, was on the, what was it, the USS Valley Forge, I think it may have been, had a major UFO sighting with a bunch of other guys, and had, quote, a dream that he was on board. He thinks it's more than a dream. So do I. It's the typical scenario. He's taken to the engine room, told how this engine works. They had a long conversation with him about power sources and how power has evolved on our planet. And they said, you could build this. You could build something like this.
Well, where's the blueprints then? I mean, like, say in the movie Contact, right? We get the signal. It comes down into a dish. There it is. It's all laid out. This is how you build the thing, right?
Yeah, this is exactly what these cases are like.
But except where's the blueprints then?
Well, take the case of John Long. This is an abductee from Yvonne Smith, two brothers, had repeated abductions. John Long didn't like school. He finished high school but didn't do well. Started having these experiences and developed an extremely strong interest in physics and magnetics, and started patenting these motors. And you can, I do have copies of the patents. It's on my YouTube channel. I did a whole sort of presentation on these exact type of cases. People have been taken to the control room and told how it works and told how to build one of these engines. And he got attention from the government to the point where they're like, we're going to declare that we may have to declare this invention secret. Just so you know, he was contacted and they told him that.
Interesting. Okay. So, you know, this is why we love having you on the show, Preston, because, you know, you like to bring up these exceptions to the rules. So, you know, I guess then what are we supposed to make of that? Have we got secret technology then? Are we making UFOs ourselves? Have we got terrestrial UFOs, do you think? Like, is that what we're seeing when we see, like, the black triangles? Are they ours instead of theirs?
Not all black triangles, for sure. I know far too many abductees have been taken on board and had seen grays. But as far as, you know, this sort of grassroots movement is what I think is happening. Our government has not been forthcoming, transparent, or truthful about the UFO phenomena. I think they have this technology. I think there's enough whistleblower accounts to build a compelling case for that, of crashed UFOs and alien technology in military possession. But it's not being released. So the ETs are going to the people and trying to release it that way, which is not super effective, because how many people can understand it, for one thing? Got a bunch of cases where people had this experience and couldn't make sense of it. Just a few have, but they don't have the resources often. I feel like some, you know, at least 10-20% of what's flying around, particularly around military bases, is our own craft, reverse engineered or using alien technology or actual alien craft that we're flying around. But it's impossible to say. Like the Phoenix Lights, that incident, I don't think that was us. This went right over Luke Air Force Base and completely freaked them out. They issued several contradictory statements. From what I understand from the insiders, there was complete panic on the base. So I don't think that one was ours.
Preston, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.